Well, the reason that we meet here on this day of the week, the first day of the week, is because it was upon the first day of the week that our Lord rose from the dead. The event that changed history, that changed our lives, that changed religious lives, because it moved the Sabbath from the seventh day to the first day of the week, where we come and we rest in our Lord's finished work and His resurrection. Well, I hope you're pleased to be here in the Lord's house this day, and I hope you have a copy of His book. Turn, if you will, to Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14. And for our scripture reading today, we're going to read the first 11 verses of this chapter. We're going to spend a little time in all four of the Gospels today. But for our public reading of Holy Scripture, we will read here from Mark chapter 14. And if you have it and you're willing and able, I do invite you to stand out of honor for God's holy and inspired word. And so you can follow along in your translation, or just to listen or watch on the screen. And I will be reading out of the new American Standard Version. Mark chapter 14, beginning in verse number 1. Now the Passover and unleavened bread were 2 days away, and the chief priest and the scribes were seeking how to seize him by stealth and kill him. For they were saying, not during the festival, otherwise there might be a riot of the people. While he was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper and reclining at the table, there came a woman with an alabaster vial of very costly perfume of pure nard, and she broke the vial and poured it over his head. But some were indignantly remarking to one another, why has this perfume been wasted? For this perfume might have been sold for over 300 denarii and the money given to the poor. And they were scolding her. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you bother her? She has done a good deed to me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you wish, you can do good to them, but you do not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for the burial. Truly, I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken of in memory of her. Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went off to the chief priest in order to betray him to them. And they were glad when they heard this and promised to give him money. And he began seeking how to betray him at an opportune time. And let's take our time for prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this day, this first day of the week, that reminds us that your Son, our Lord, conquered our great enemy death. We thank you for your word that sanctifies us through and through, and tells us of your Son, who is your word. Father, we thank you that we have heard the gospel and that we have the gospel. And Lord, we thank you for this testimony of the great faith of this woman, the faith given to her and displayed for us to learn from. And Father, we also thank you for the warning that we have of Judas Iscariot, a man who had no faith. And so, Father, I would ask that during the remainder of our hour that you would increase our faith in your only begotten Son, our Savior, who I ask. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, today is the Jewish Passover. And our Lord Jesus Christ raised himself from the dead 3 days after Passover. And so today is a very significant day on the calendar. In fact, many significant events happened in the ministry of our Lord Jesus during the 3 or so years of his public ministry and all of those events leading up to the most magnificent events of our Lord's death and of his burial and of his glorious resurrection. Well, today for our message, we are going to look at the three really significant scenes that happened during the life of our Lord. And these three scenes actually played themselves out in 6 separate events. Now some of these scenes that we're going to talk about, they do seem very similar with each other, but they are in fact separate from each other. But they all show the very sacredness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Lord, who is the perfect one. And when he came into Jerusalem in his triumphal entry on that day, that Palm Sunday, he was proclaimed by the nation to be perfect. He is the impeccable one. And this happened one time as the nation, almost unbeknownst to them, picked the Lamb without spot or blemish. But Jesus is also the zealous one. And during his ministry, he came in to God's temple and he cleared the temple 2 different times during his ministry. He did once at the very beginning of his ministry, at his first Passover during his public ministry, and he also did so at his 4th Passover at the end of his ministry. And so he zealously cleared the temple 2 different times during his public ministry. He was the zealous one. But our Lord is also the anointed one. And he was prepared for his burial. He was anointed for his burial 3 different times by 3 different women, declaring that he is the Christ, the anointed one. He was anointed early on in his ministry, and then he was anointed 2 days before Palm Sunday, and then he was anointed on 2 days after Palm Sunday, declaring to all that he is the anointed one. And so today I'm going to take these events in chronological order, because some of these events are often confused because they are similar, and sometimes you think, oh, they're just the same one. No, they're separate ones. And also I want to point out that 5 of these 6 events happened right around Passover, right around the day that is today's date, because today's date is the Jewish Passover. And so first of all, first event I'll call your attention to is that Jesus cleared the temple at the beginning of his ministry. And if you'll turn to John chapter 2, this account is found in John chapter 2 and about verses 13 and following. And here this is our Lord's first Passover. This happened right after his first miracle in Canaan, where he turned the water to wine. In fact, you can read in John chapter 2 and verse 13 and 14 that the Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who were selling oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers seated at their table. So here, after our Lord's very first miracle, and he comes to his very first Passover, and he comes into the temple, and he finds a whole bunch of commotion and motion going on in the temple that shouldn't have been going on there. They were selling and they were doing business in the temple. Well, this incensed our Lord, and we read in verse 15 and 16 that he made a scourge of cords, and he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and he poured out the coins of the money changers, and he overturned their temples. And to those who were selling the doves, he says, "Take these things away and stop making my Father's house a place of business." So after our Lord's very first miracle, at his very first Passover, where he begins his public ministry in the temple, he cleans house. And he said, you shouldn't be carrying on business, because you should be about my Father's business in my Father's house. Jesus was incensed at the corruption of true religion by commerce and business that was going on in the place that should have been reserved from worship. Here our Lord begins His ministry with a very loud statement that He is very much against the business of religion. And can I tell you that religion can be very big business? I mean, you know, in religion, you got the business of models, you got the marketing, you do this for growth, and you do this for expansion, and you got your church merch that is sold. It is everywhere in religion. But Jesus starts off His ministry in the temple saying, get this merchandise and this business practice out of my house. You know, a commentator, Matthew Henry, had something interesting to say. You know, he said Jesus never forced anyone into the temple, but He sure forced people out of it. And when they turned church into church merch, buying and selling and just carrying on just like the world, I mean, that's fine outside, but you bring it in here? And He says, get this stuff out of my house. Because it says that Jesus was zealous for the house of the Lord. Look at verse number 17 of John 2. And His disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house has consumed me. You might say, Jesus thought that put it in our vernacular, the church house is a sacred house, and it is not to be a secular house, and you leave the secular things in the secular world, but the church house is to be sacred. And so he cleaned it all out. And when He did this, the Jews asked for a sign. I mean, this was something. I mean, you come in and you clean house at the temple. And so they asked for a sign from Him to show by what authority He would do these things. And in verse 19, Jesus gives it. And Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Here's the sign that He has the authority. He says, you go ahead and destroy the temple, and I'm going to raise it up in 3 days. Now, they were about defiling the temple with their merchandise, but eventually they would destroy the true temple by their madness when they killed the Lord Jesus. And He says, you destroy the temple, and I will raise it up in 3 days. Because Jesus Christ is Himself the temple. In His humanity, He houses deity. He is the place where God dwells. And they were defiling it and they would destroy it. And He says, and I will raise it up in 3 days. And do you know that 3 years later, His enemies remembered this statement? When they had Him in court and they were trying Him and they were trying to bring witnesses, and one of the witnesses came to say, oh, this guy said that you destroy this temple and I will raise it in 3 days. Oh, they remembered His words. In fact, they mocked Him with it when He was upon the tree. Oh, you who are going to destroy the temple and raise it in 3 days, come down and save yourself and we'll believe that you are the Son of God. In fact, they even remembered when He was in the tomb. And the chief priest says, oh yeah. And they go to Pilate and they said, we remember this deceiver. And he said, after 3 days, I'm going to rise again. And so let's seal it. Let's put a chain on it so he can't get out of there. They remembered His words. You destroy this temple and I'm going to raise it in 3 days. In fact, eventually the disciples came along and they actually remembered it as well. Look at verse 21 and 22. Where He says, but He was speaking of the temple of His body. And when He was raised from the dead, His disciples remembered that He had said this. And they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had spoken. Oh yeah, wow. You remember that, John? You remember that, Thomas? You know, 3 years ago when He said that? And when He cleaned house? It finally dawned on them what He had said. And so our Lord begins His ministry by clearing the temple. The next event I'll call your attention to is in Luke chapter 7. And this is the one where our Lord was anointed for the first time. He was anointed in name. at a Pharisee's house by a sinful woman. It's found in Luke chapter 7, about the verses 36 and following. And this event happened right after Jesus had raised a guy from the dead. There was a widow in Nain, this town, and the funeral procession was going on, and our Lord raised this son of this widow from the dead. And after this event, Jesus was invited into a Pharisee's house to eat. Now, I'm kind of assuming that it's in the same town of Nain. I'm not really for sure. You know, maybe Nain, maybe not. I don't know. But it probably happened in Nain, but not quite for sure. But while he was eating in this Pharisee's house, it says that Jesus was reclining at the table, just kind of lounging, laying there. And a sinful woman came up behind him, and she wet his feet with her tears. And she opened up some perfume, and she poured it on his feet and began to wipe his feet with her tears and perfume and with her hair. Look at verse 38 of Luke chapter 7. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. And she kept wiping them with the hair of her head and kissing his feet and anointing them with perfume. So here this is the first occasion to where our Lord was anointed. And you know what Christ means? Do you know what the word Messiah means? I mean, it literally means the anointed one. It's the one that had some oil, had some perfume, had some stuff poured on him to set that person apart, that this particular one is marked out for a particular office, like a priest or a king or a particular task, that this is the guy that is anointed. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. And this woman anoints the Christ. Anoints the anointed one. Well, when this anointing happens, the master of the house, the Pharisee, was really not very impressed. In fact, he was a little turned off. And he began reasoning in his mind a little bit because of the kind of woman that she was. And he was thinking in his mind, you know, man, if this guy were really a prophet, you know, if he really knew what was going on, he would know what kind of woman she was. And, you know, I don't mean to slander this guy, but I've often wondered, well, she knew his house and she was in his house. I don't know what was going on here, but anyway, he was thinking these things in his mind. And Jesus is Lord, and Jesus knew his thoughts. And so he begins to tell a parable to this Pharisee. He said, hey God, let me just ask you a question. There were two people who owed some money to a money lender. That they were debtors and they were in debt. And one person owed them $10,000 and another person owed them $100,000. And the lender, the money lender was very gracious and he forgave both of them their debts. And then he asks this question, which will love the lender more? Who's going to love him more? And then, of course, the Pharisee said, well, I suppose the one that had the greatest debt forgiven. And then he said, do you see this woman? I mean, when I came to your house, you didn't wash my feet. You didn't offer me anything. And she's wet my feet with her tears and poured perfume on them and wiped them with my hair. And you didn't give me a thing. And I tell you, she has been forgiven much because she loved much. Her love for Christ was an expression of the forgiveness that she had received from Christ because he was the anointed one. Look at verse 47 and 48 of Luke 7. And for this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much, but he who has been forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins have been forgiven. Here in this great event, the first time our Lord was anointed, He is the Christ, and He is anointed by this woman, declaring to all that He is the Christ, the anointed one who forgives sin. That He is Jesus the Savior, set apart to be the only Savior of sinners, anointed by tears and perfume. And wiped by a forgiven woman's hair. Well, to move on to another account, a very similar account, that Jesus was anointed for a second time in a different town, in the town of Bethany, at Martha's house by her sister Mary. To turn to John chapter 12. And we have this account. It's found in John chapter 12, the first 11 verses, and the context of this is right after our Lord again raised somebody else from the dead. The first anointing came after He raised the widow of Nain's son from the dead. Well, in John chapter 11, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, who was the brother of Mary and Martha. And after He raised Lazarus from the dead, guess what? Mary and Martha said, hey, come to dinner. We're going to have a party. We're going to have a feast. And so Jesus has a meal in Lazarus's house with his sisters, Mary and Martha. And the text says that it was 6 days before Passover. There's a timing element given. Look at it in John chapter 12 and verse 1. And it says, Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. And so they made Him a supper there, and Martha was serving, but Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with Him. And so here it is, 6 days before the Passover. He's in the house. Lazarus has house. Lazarus is laying there. Martha is serving like Martha does, and she's getting the food already. And then Mary does something. Look in verse number 3. And then Mary took a pound of very costly perfume, a pure nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped His feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. So here Mary does the same thing as the forgiven woman, or the sinful woman who was forgiven. The same thing that she did, though it's could be years later. She comes in, and it's 6 days before the Passover. It's in a different town, and she anoints the feet of Jesus with this very expensive perfume worth about what a year's wages would be. And so she again anoints the anointed one, declaring Him to be the Christ. And when this happened, it was a burr under somebody's saddle. Look at verse number 6. Verses 4 to 6, excuse me. But Judas Iscariot, one of His disciples, who was intending to betray Him, said, why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor to eat? I mean, you could have taken a whole year's wages and you could have helped a whole bunch of poor folk out. And now He said this not because He was concerned about the poor, but because He was a thief. And as He had the money box, He used to pilfer what was put into it. You see, he was the one that took up the offering. He had access to the offering. And he said, man, I just missed out on a big offering because he had sticky fingers with the offering. You see, Judas was mad because he thought it would have a better use than helping the poor, because he wanted to help himself. And you know, like Judas, there are many people that hide their greed under the pretense of helping the poor. You know, just like Judas. Oh man, we got to help the poor. And really their intent is just to line their own pockets. Because you know, there's not just big money in religion, but there is big money in aiding poverty. Judas knew it. And he was taking it. But notice what Jesus replies after that little parenthetical thought there. Verse number 7. And therefore Jesus said, "Let her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." So here, Mary, I'm sure out of great thanks that here is the Lord of life, who raised her brother from the dead, and Martha's fixing a meal, and they're having a party, and Lazarus is laying right there, and she says, I just have to anoint him. And Jesus said, she's doing it for my burial. She's getting me ready for my burial, because remember, it's 6 days before Passover. And she is anointing him and setting him apart for the day of my burial. Well, this kind of caused quite a bit of stir, because, of course, raising somebody from the dead like Lazarus caused a stir. And then, you know, here having a party at his house. Well, the very next day, the crowds show up. And the priests show up and say, "Well, we got to get rid of this guy. In fact, we got to get rid of Lazarus too, because he's a kind of evidence of what kind of guy Jesus is." Look at verses 10 of John chapter 12. "But the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and were believing in Jesus." And here's the second time Jesus was anointed. Anointed in Bethany by Mary, in the house of Lazarus and Martha, 6 days before the Passover. Well, the next event that I will bring to your attention is the event of Palm Sunday. In fact, it's the triumphal entry when our Lord entered Jerusalem. And putting these events together, you just kind of shuffle some of the Gospels together and putting them together. The triumphal entry happened 2 days after Mary had anointed Jesus' feet, because it was 6 days before Passover, and we know that the Passover always happened on the 14th day of the month. And that's when the Passover happened. And so Mary anointed Jesus 6 days before that day. And 2 days after Mary anointed him is when he comes into Jerusalem in Palm Sunday, and they get the branches and the palm trees and stuff, and they lay him on the ground, and they're singing their praises. "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Remember, Jesus is riding on a donkey, and he has the colt, the foal of the donkey, and all the things that go on in the triumphal entry were just prefiguring and the fulfillment of what Scripture had said. But one of the things I think we overlook is that what happened on Palm Sunday happened on a special day. It was the day that the nation picked the Passover lamb. Because the Passover always happened on the 14th day of the month. And if you look in the book of Exodus chapter 12, we see that on the 10th day of the month, 4 days before the Passover, the nation was to select their lambs. They were to get their lambs. They were to make sure that those lambs were without spot or blemish. They were to have 4 days to inspect the lamb and say, does this fit the bill? Is this the right a lamb? And then on the 14th day, the Passover day, they were to slaughter the lamb. But the 10th day of the month was the day that they picked the lamb. That was the day, which just happened to be the day that Jesus comes into Jerusalem, riding on the donkey, and the colt, the foal of a donkey, with the palm branches, and all the singing, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And unbeknownst to them, they were proclaiming and praising the perfection and the impeccability of Christ, that he was in fact the Passover lamb. On the Palm Sunday, Jesus was declared by the nation, by His triumphal entry, to be the one without spot or blemish, because it was selection day. It was the 10th day, the day the Passover lamb was to be picked. Well, of course, the Pharisees, the leaders, when they saw this triumphal entry and they heard the people praising the Lord and singing hosannas, they objected. What is going on here? You cannot heap these kind of praises on Jesus of Nazareth. And look, if you will, in Luke chapter 17. Let me just read some of this here in Luke's account. Luke chapter 17. Excuse me, Luke 19. Sevens and nines are close, you know. But Luke 19, beginning in verse 37. There was the seven. There was a seven somewhere. Beginning in verse 37, and as soon as he was approaching and near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles that they had seen, and shouting, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But Jesus answered, "I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out." Because this was the day. This was selection day, when they were to pick the lambs, and the nation, unbeknownst to them, were picking Jesus as the impeccable one, the one without spot or blemish. And here the leaders and the rulers, the builders, were rejecting the one that the nation said, "This is the Passover lamb." And Jesus says, "Hey, if these guys don't shout, the rocks will cry out." And when this happened, when the people were praising and the leaders were cursing, if you will, and saying, "Don't let it happen," Jesus begins to weep. And he weeps over the city. After he's entered into the city, he weeps over the city. Look at verses 41 and 42. "And when he approached Jerusalem and he saw the city, he wept over it, saying, 'If you had known this day, even you, the things which make for peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes.'" Jesus comes in, and the people are saying, "Yeah, you're the one without spot or blemish." And the leaders were saying, "No, don't let them do it." And Jesus says, "Well, if they shut up, then the rocks will cry out." And then he weeps over the city because he says, "You have missed this day. The day that was selection day for the Passover lamb. And it was also another very special day. Only one day in all of history. It just happened to be the day that Daniel talked about years and years ago." He says, "In 483 years, the Messiah will present himself to the nation." 483 years. And Jesus says, "You missed this day. It was the day that Daniel talked about. It's the day that the nation, for hundreds and years and centuries, they've been picking a lamb this day, and you miss this day." But all of it was to fulfill Scripture, because Psalm 118 says that the stone that the builders rejected have become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We sing that song, and it's great to sing, but that's about a certain day. Palm Sunday day, the day that the Messiah comes into Jerusalem, and they say, "This is the anointed one, the chosen one, the perfect one, the one that Daniel said would show up on this day." And they didn't recognize the day of visitation. Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry, which just happens to be this day. But our Lord, He came on that day. Well, let me mention just a couple of other things to try to tie this together. After His triumphal entry and Him declared to be the spotless Lamb of God on selection day, when the lamb lambs were chosen on the 10th day of the month, and the day that Daniel said the Messiah would show up. Then he cleared the temple again to end his ministry. After Jesus' triumphal entry, when he comes into Jerusalem and the crowds praise him and the chief priests curse him and Jesus weeps over the city, then he goes into the temple and he looks around at everything, almost like, you know, he's a little bit incensed, a little bit angry, but then he, after making an assessment, he goes to Bethany to spend the night, and then the next day he shows back up to the temple. In fact, we can read this in Matthew chapter 21, in Matthew chapter 21 and verse number 12. And then Jesus entered the temple and drove out all those who were buying and selling in the temple, and overturning the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And he said to them, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a robber's den." So here, after he comes into Jerusalem, he inspects the temple, he comes back the next day, and he comes to clean house again. Just like he did to begin his ministry, so too he ends his ministry by cleansing the temple. And he says, "You've made it a den of robbers. The church house has become a crime house because it was full of merchandise. It was full of marketing. It was just like a mall. It was just like the secular society." And Jesus cleaned house to end his ministry. And he says, "My house, you're going to come into my house?" He says, "My house is to be a house of prayer. It's not a house for you to make profit. It's not a place for buying and selling. It is a place for praying." You know, I think I'm convinced we don't pray enough at church. I don't pray enough at church. Maybe we ought to make it a priority, because when our Lord came to the temple to start his ministry, end his ministry, he cleaned house. He said, "This house is to be a house of prayer. It is also to be a house of teaching," because we see that as he was cleaning house, the other gospel says that he was teaching, and Mark tells us that the people were astonished at his teaching, and Luke says they were hanging on his every word. I just imagine, you know, what the Lord was doing, and he was kicking people out, and he was just and preaching as he went. And the people were amazed and flabbergasted and astonished and hanging on his every words, because he says, "My house is a house of prayer," and his house was also to be a house of preaching. But it was also to be a house of healing. Notice what Matthew says in verse number 14 of chapter 21. "And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them." Imagine our Lord is cleansing the temple and throwing out the money changers and all that, and he's preaching the word, and the word gets out and people start flocking into the temple, people who have needs, the blind and the lame, and he begins to heal people, because God's house is a place for healing. And it's also a house of praise. Look at verse 15 and 16. "When the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he has done, and the children were shouting in the temple, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' and they became indignant." Imagine the commotion. Our Lord cleaning the house. This is a house of prayer. This is a house of preaching. This is a house of healing. And all the children are just singing and shouting, "Hosanna." And the chief priest says, "Shut them up. Don't do it." But then Jesus said to him, "Do you hear what these children are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes, and have you never read, 'Out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise for yourself?'" I tell you, the bookends of Jesus' ministry was to clear the temple twice. He began his ministry clearing the temple, and he ended his ministry clearing the temple, because temple time and church time should be full of praying. It should be full of preaching. It should be full of meeting people's needs. And it should be full of praise. Because he said, "This is what my house is about." Don't make it about all those other things. We got other places to do those. But this is a house of prayer and preaching and meeting needs and praise. This is the second time our Lord cleansed the temple. And it happened 3 days before Passover. Well, something else happened 2 days before Passover. And that was the text that we began the message with in Mark chapter 14. And it says that it was 2 days before Passover. Let me just read the first 8 verses here. Now the Passover and unleavened bread were 2 days away. And the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to seize him by stealth and to kill him. For they were saying, not during the festival, otherwise there might be a riot of the people. And while he was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper, reclining at the table, there came a woman with an alabaster vial of very costly perfume of pure nard. And she broke the vial and poured it over his head. But some were indignantly remarking to one another, why has this perfume been wasted? For this perfume might have been sold for over 300 denarii and the money given to the poor. And they were scolding her. And Jesus said to her, let her alone. Why do you bother her? She has done a good deed for me. You always have the poor with you. And whenever you wish, you can do them good. But you do not always have me. And she has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. Here we have the third account of when our Lord was anointed by a woman. And here this woman, this anonymous woman, anointed his head. And it was 2 days before Passover. You remember Mary anointed his feet, and it was 6 days before Passover. And the other forgiven woman also anointed his feet, and it might have been a year, who knows how long before. We don't really have a timing. But here, the Lord Jesus, for the third time, he has been anointed and declared by these women as the Christ. By 3 witnesses, the scripture says, by the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, every fact is to be established. Here, by 3 witnesses, by 3 women, they all anointed him and said, Jesus is the anointed one. Jesus is the Christ. He's the one who can forgive. He's the one who can raise the dead. And he's the one that will be dead, but he will come from the dead. Because he's the Christ. And you know, that's the gospel. The gospel is Jesus Christ. And Jesus said that wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, the story of this woman is to be told. Look at verse number 9. Truly, I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken of her in memory of her. This was a woman of great faith. The scribes, the Pharisees, and they couldn't see Jesus for who he was as the Christ. They didn't understand the death, burial, and resurrection. But oh, this woman, even before it happened, she had heard him say, destroy this temple and I will build it in 3 days. And over again, I'm going to Jerusalem and I'm going to die. And on the third day, I'm going to come back. And sure enough, he's into Jerusalem. He's been proclaimed the perfect one. And then this woman comes and anoints him to get him ready for burial. Oh, what faith this woman had in the Lord Christ, who is our life. She had eyes to see. But oh, when this woman exhibited such faith and love in the Lord Jesus, a man without faith was mad. Oh, Judas was angry. I mean, it was the final straw. Because this just happened 4 days ago. I mean, it's like just a few days ago, we were in the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and Mary pours all this expensive perfume on it, and I couldn't steal it, and now it happens again? I can't put up with it anymore because, oh, he loved money. Twice in 4 days, so much money was wasted in love for the Lord Jesus. And so we read in verse 10 and 11, and then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went off to the chief priest in order to betray him to them. And they were glad when they heard this, and they promised to give him money. And he began seeking how to betray him at an opportune time. You see, he probably saw the first anointing. He was there for the second anointing in Mary and Martha and Lazarus' house. And now this anonymous woman, just 2 days before the Passover, anoints him again, and he can't handle it anymore. I'm going to go sell him, and I'm going to get the money. For 30 pieces of silver, he sold his master. Because his religion was just like many of those in the temple's religion was. His religion was about money, and it was about merchandise. Because Judas's Christ was merchandise. Just like the people in the temple. They had turned the temple into merchandise, and they had turned it into buying and selling and all these things apart from prayer. But Judas's Christ was merchandise. Couldn't handle this third anointing of our Lord and Savior. That was his religion. His religion was merchandise. But I'll remind us as we close that our religion is about Jesus Christ. He is our religion. He is the only impeccable one that there has ever been. He is the perfect one, the one who was proclaimed to be so on Selection Day. On the 10th day of the month, where the nation picked the lamb without spot or blemish. And Jesus is that perfect one. All the nation, they did it. They put down the palm branches, and they got the donkeys in fulfillment of scriptures. And Hosanna, and blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, fulfilling Psalm 118. He's the one. He's the Christ. It happened once. It happened on a special day that Daniel said 483 years from this day it's going to happen. And it did. Only one person in history could be the perfect one. And that's the one that rode into Jerusalem on donkeys on that day. But he is also the zealous one. The one that we worship is zealous for pure worship. He is the one that began his ministry by clearing the temple and ended his ministry by clearing the temple. The bookends of his ministry says this house is to be a house of prayer. It is to be a house of preaching. It is to be a house of helping people. And it is to be a house of praise. That's why we come here. And our Lord loudly proclaimed it to begin and end his ministry. And then thirdly, and it happened three times, he is the anointed one. The one that we worship is anointed. The Christ, the Messiah, who was anointed by three different women on three different occasions. Anointed and proclaimed that he is the only one who can forgive sins. That he is the only one that can go to death and be buried and come out of the grave and conquer death. It is in the testimony of three witnesses that Jesus is the Christ. We end this service today, and I want to encourage you to faith in Christ. There was one anonymous woman 2 days before Passover, and she could see it. And she believed it. And she acted on it. And there was another guy who was right there, and he had no faith. Which one are you this day? A person of faith or a person of no faith in the perfect one, the zealous one, and the anointed one? Well, let's stand and we'll sing a hymn calling us to faith.
Trouble, no light in the darkness.
hope that the song is true for you this day, that you have turned your eyes upon Jesus, that by faith you can see Him for who He is and receive all that He is for the forgiveness of your sins and acceptance by His Father. Well, we spent a little bit of time today talking about some chronology of these six separate events. And so I thought, well, we'll change it up tonight and maybe follow along in that same line and talk about some of these other chronologies that go along this very special week that revolve around the Jewish Passover. So do come back tonight, 6 o'clock, and that's what we'll talk about. Well, let's be dismissed with a word of prayer. Our Father, we love you. We thank you for calling us to yourself. We thank you for faith, and we would ask that you would increase our faith in your Son, and might it happen this day, His day, and I pray it in His name. Amen. And you are dismissed.